The imaginary separate self is made primarily of the belief that what I am doesn't intimately pervade the entirety of experience, but only pervades this little corner of experience called my body. In reality, I am the experiencing in all experience. The knowing in all that is known. But thought imagines that what I am doesn't intimately pervade all experience, but just pervades one little part of it. And with this belief, the seamless totality is divided into two, a me part and a not-me part. A me part in here that does the knowing or experiencing, and the not-me part out there that is known or experienced. With this belief, our bodily sensations, which in reality are no more or less pervaded by myself, no more or less pervaded by knowing or awareness, seem to become a separate self. These bodily sensations are branded me. I, this knowing or aware presence, seems just to pervade these bodily sensations, but seems not to pervade our perceptions of the world. Perceptions of the world seem to take place out there, made out of something other than myself, whereas sensations seem to take place in here, made out of myself. It would be like watching a movie on the TV and imagining that only half the people in the movie are pervaded by the screen, and imagining that the other half are pervaded by something else. So thought imagines that only this body, these bodily sensations, are pervaded by myself, and everyone and everything else is pervaded by the not me. In this way, our bodily sensations acquire a me-ness, a me label. And the thought of a separate self in this way becomes the feeling of a separate self. This feeling in the body of being a separate self is by far the larger part of the sense of separation and remains long after the belief in separation at the level of thoughts has been seen through. And it is for this reason that many of us who are very familiar with the non-dual teaching and have studied and practiced it for many years still sometimes feel some contradiction or mismatch between what we know and what we feel. And it is for this reason that in our gatherings together, we give a lot of attention to the way we sense the body and perceive the world, not just the way we think. We certainly spend time exploring our beliefs. But as our beliefs are seen through, are seen to be simply beliefs that bear little relation to the reality of our experience, our investigation goes deeper into the body and into the world, that is, into the way we feel and the way we perceive. In fact, in time and without our noticing it, this sense of a separate self has become enshrined in the body. And the way we move, the way we act, our gestures, our postures, all, at least to a certain degree, express this deep feeling that we have, that what I am is exclusively located in and limited to the body. And it is for this reason that we don't just do this exploration sitting still. We sometimes allow the body to move. Because because it is in our movements, gestures, and activities that this sense of separation finds its home, finds its expression. So we want to explore this sense of separation in all its forms, not just in our beliefs, but in our body, and not just in our bodies when they are still, but in our bodies when they are moving, acting, interrelating. In theory, it would be nice to conduct this investigation, or part of this investigation, when we were walking out in nature or on the streets of San Francisco, to make sure that our investigation really includes all aspects of our life, not just when we're sitting peacefully in a meeting such as this. But in practice, that is not possible. So here we are, in a way, in the lab, trying to simulate conditions in the outside world. And for this reason, we take this exploration into movements, postures. It's important to understand this because this understanding is so far removed from the conventional idea of yoga, which is some sort of in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases is some sort of a manipulation of the body. I'm not suggesting there may not be some benefits to these approaches, but it's not the approach we take here. Leave the thinking, commentating on one side, and just allow sensing and perceiving to come to the focus of your attention. No need to get rid of thinking. Just put it to one side, as it were, and allow sensing and perceiving to come to the foreground. Not sensing and perceiving, just sensing, perceiving, written all one word. By sensing, I mean the experiencing of the body, and by perceiving, I mean the experiencing of the world, which, if our eyes are closed, is mainly sounds. The gentle hum of the air conditioning, for instance. see that sensing and perceiving are not clearly defined entities. They have no borders. They flow into one another. So just allow this sensing, perceiving to be totally present. Whatever it is that knows or experiences this sensing, perceiving is what we call my self, I. I am the knowing of all experience, the experiencing in all experience. Can you find any part of sensing, perceiving that is not intimately pervaded by your self? Scan your current experience, the so-called body, the so-called chair or floor, the so-called sound of the fan. It's all made of sensing, perceiving. And all sensing, perceiving is intimately pervaded by the knowing of it, that is, by your self. In fact, sensing, perceiving is not pervaded by knowing or experiencing in the way that a sponge is pervaded by water. It is much closer than that. There is just sensing, perceiving. Made out of experiencing. Made out of knowing, made out of yourself. Not yourself, the self. Made out of pure knowingness or awareness. And when the so-called sound ceases, when the fan stops, this knowing, experiencing, the self, I, doesn't stop, it doesn't go away. The screen doesn't pervade the image. There are not two things there in the first place. It is the image. And when the image changes or ceases, the screen doesn't change or cease. It remains as it always is, as it eternally is. Not always in time, but ever present, now. So the so-called body may move and change, appear and disappear. But the knowing or experiencing out of which they are made doesn't move or change, appear or disappear. It is eternally present now, being modulated, as it were, in the forms of sensing, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, thinking. Scan your experience, whatever your experience is, in this moment, and ask yourself, does the knowing of my experience take place at a particular place? Or is the entirety of experience pervaded by the knowing of it? Try to find some part of your experience that is not pervaded by the knowing of it. The separate self, the imaginary separate self, is made out of the belief that the knowing of our experience takes place in the head. I, the knower, in the head. Or in the chest area, I, the feeler, in the chest. Or in the rest of the body, I, the doer, the mover, the actor. That is what thought tells us about ourself. But what does experience tell us? Take two apparently separate experiences, one, the head, and two, the background hum of the AC. When I say the head and the AC, I mean the actual experience, just the raw sensation called my head and the sound of the AC. The so-called head is made only of sensing. The sound is made only of hearing. See that whatever it is that knows or experiences the sensing and the hearing pervades them equally, intimately. The sound of the van in the distance, in the so-called distance, is made only of the knowing of it. And when the sound vanishes, this knowingness remains, modulated as sensing, modulated as hearing. Go inside the sensation called head. Do you find a center, a location there from which the knowing of our experience is taking place? Be very experiential, don't refer to thinking. Just your experience. Explore this sensation called head. Go to the sound of the aeroplane, made only of hearing, made only of the knowing of it. Where does that knowing take place? This knowing of our experience doesn't take place in a place. All places are made out of this knowing. be this knowing. Know yourself as this knowing or experiencing element. See that it is you, this pure, transparent experiencing, that takes the shape of hearing. That takes the shape of the ticking of the clock, the hum of the AC, the texture of the floor, the thinking of thoughts, all made out of experiencing, knowing. Know yourself as that. As this pure, transparent knowingness which is modulated as thinking, feeling, sensing, hearing, seeing, etc. Just as the screen is modulated as the movie. It's not that the body is not myself. It is myself. But it is not exclusively myself. The seeing, the hearing, the touching, the smelling, that is all equally myself, all equally made out of knowing or experiencing. And this knowing or experiencing is not made out of a body, a mind, or a world. It is made out of itself, transparent, formless, knowing, or awareness. Nothing need change in order to know ourself as this knowing or aware presence. At most, we just need to notice it. In fact, an effort would be required to be something other than this all-pervasive knowingness. And that is exactly what the imaginary separate self is, an effort of thinking and feeling to be something other than this aware presence. In fact, the separate inside self is not an entity or a self, it is an activity of thinking and feeling. An activity of thinking and feeling that says, I do not pervade intimately the entirety of experience. I just pervade this little corner of it called the body. In other words, it is the separate self that requires continual effort. To be knowingly this presence requires no effort whatsoever. Just see it and be it knowingly. Nothing can harm you or touch you, because there is nothing that is not made out of yourself. so nothing need be defended or protected. Wherever you look, it is more of yourself. Nothing need be sought. All you would find would be more of yourself. Ask yourself, does sensing, perceiving, ever resist? There is no real resistance in our experience. Experience itself, pure experiencing, never resists, never seeks. It is only an imaginary inside self that resists and seeks. And this imaginary inside self is, of course, itself made out of pure experiencing. Now, very slowly, allow the body to move. Make whatever movements you want, however large or small. You could get up and walk around, or you could just wriggle your toes, it doesn't matter which, or anything in between. But see that you never cease for a moment to be anything other than this knowing that pervades all experience. Just move in a way that is comfortable for your body. It will be different from every other body. No need for conformity. Stay with the knowing. Be the knowing all the way through. Be sensitive to the slight impulse to contract into a separate self as soon as the body starts moving. See this impulse, but don't act on it. Don't do what it is telling you to do. Move very slowly, checking from moment to moment that you remain this pure knowing that pervades intimately all experience. Notice how readily the sense of a separate self seems to arise in the body. don't go back to a body. Remain pure experiencing. See that nothing can touch or harm you, although you touch all seeming things intimately. No particular position or activity of the body can rob you of your true identity, can make you be anything other than this pure knowing or awareness out of which all experience is made. One of the values of moving as we do this meditation is that little pockets of meanness are revealed in places where it has been in hiding, sometimes for many years. So as we move, a shoulder, or a hip, or a neck, or a wrist. Little pockets of me-ness are revealed and are seen in our experience to be truly made of transparent, empty knowingness. None of these places in the body truly house a separate self. And the real emptiness of the body, the aware emptiness out of which the body is made, is revealed as we make these movements. We are not doing anything to the body. We are just allowing it to reveal its true nature to itself, as itself, by itself. As the body is moving, feel that experiencing, pure experiencing, is flowing. There are no solid objects there moving in space. Just pure experiencing, taking the shape of different movements and postures. Feel free to let your eyes open and close. But see that when our eyes are open, it is only ourself, pure experiencing, that takes the form of seeing. Nothing appears at a distance from ourself. Nothing arises that is not made of ourself. the world seems to jump outside and the self seems to contract inside when we open our eyes. Just close your eyes again. Be pure experiencing. And then let your eyes open again. Experiencing, experiencing, experiencing. That is all we ever know. Ourself, ourself, ourself. Nothing artificial or contrived, just go with whatever your body does or doesn't want to do. And now, without ceasing to be this pure experiencing, just allow yourself to get up and go to the bathroom or have a drink or a breath of fresh air. And we'll come back in 5 or so minutes and have a conversation. But see that nothing changes, nothing ends. Our meeting hasn't ended. True meditation never ends. It is just modulated in all the myriad forms of experience.